The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, unless heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds all that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You
may be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The grandchildren settle down to hear the story from their grandfather. Sometimes the stories were funny, sometimes serious. Some had a hidden message. The children listened eagerly to find out what the story was today. Grandfather began the story. In a land far away, there was a lighthouse that guarded a rocky shore. Ships safely navigated the treacherous water because the lighthouse guarded them. One day, the regular lighthouse keeper got sick, and a substitute was put there in his place. During the night, a big storm came up, so the substitute lighthouse keeper got a big piece of canvas and covered the light. He covered the light so it wouldn't get wet. The lantern stayed dry, but no one could see the light to guide them through the treacherous water. The little granddaughter, without being urged to speak, said, "That new guy really did something pretty silly, didn't he?" "Did he?" "Yes. We must reply and look at the situation in our gospel lesson. Some are pretty silly, aren't they? You heard the gospel lessons a few moments ago. Were not some of those situations really pretty silly when you look at it? How about salt that doesn't taste salty? You ever had that experience? Salt that doesn't taste salty? Well, perhaps not very often. I wonder if salt ever really loses its taste. But if it did, it surely would be worthless, wouldn't it? How about carefully lighting a lamp and then putting the lamp under a box or bushel so the light couldn't be seen? Now that's just sort of silly, isn't it? A light under a bushel so the light that the light makes wouldn't be seen." And to many of the people hearing Jesus, and the belief that he had come to abolish the law and the prophets was just about pretty silly. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, surely not to abolish them. As we observe the continuation of Jesus' preaching following previous lessons, we come to realize that we are being given the ultimate gift. We are being given the gift of power, the power to know God and His will for our lives as He reveals Jesus Christ to us. The power of Jesus' teaching should be how God brings salvation to the world. The message we have must burn as a beacon to the world, a beacon to show them the God whom we know and serve. Surely God has given us the information, and He's given us the motivation, and that sends us forth into the world as God's people. Perhaps some of you have occasion to have read some of Corrie ten Boom's writings. Corrie ten Boom was imprisoned with her sister Betsy in a Nazi concentration camp in Germany. How they suffered. How they terribly, terribly, terribly suffered in that camp. But Corrie ten Boom's intention and determination throughout all of this suffering was to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ even to those inmates and guards that she found there in that terrible situation. One day, her sister Betsy said that she had had a dream. Betsy said that when they were released, they must bring the gospel to the whole world. Well, the rest of that story is Betsy didn't live to be released, but Corrie ten Boom did. Corrie ten Boom was so sure that her calling was to preach, that she did, all over the world, all over where it should be. Once when I was out of seminary, but this happened in Columbia, South Carolina. Corrie ten Boom preached there. And I heard her. I heard her tell the story of the Lord who had so blessed her in all of the problems that she had, in all of the suffering that she had. She preached this gospel. There was once a student who approached Buddha, and this student asked Buddha the true way of life and the path to deliverance. How can I be saved? What is the path to deliverance? Buddha assured that he would find this. And how? How? This student assumed that the Buddha would require him some ritual or some act of purification and some sort of baptism and enlightenment. Buddha walked with his student some distance, even into the river nearby. Buddha grabbed the man and held him long, long under the water. Finally, the student wrenched himself loose and stood gasping for air. When you thought you were drowning, what did you desire most? Asked Buddha. And the man said, air, air. And Buddha said, when you want salvation as much as you wanted air, you would get it, said Buddha. These stories tell of priorities, of things that we want to do, things that we say we will do, and the will to do them. And this story tells how we respond to priorities. Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. God has truly revealed his Son to us, and he has taught us, as Paul says, without lofty words, without wisdom. Do we, in response, do silly things such as trying to be tasteless salt or hiding the light of the gospel within our lives? They are real, but perhaps in the context of what I've said, sort of silly, aren't they? Perhaps tasteless salt is the Christian who wants to drift along with the tide without any real involvement or commitment. Perhaps the Christian who wants to limit the gospel's light to his own life or to someone else's life is as silly as the one who puts the light under the bushel. God has cast the anchor of hope to drowning individuals in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The light of Christ reveals all to those who will seek him, who will follow him in their lives. You and I are called upon to choose our priorities. As drowning sinners, we must declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we must desire our salvation as surely as the drowning person desires air. Oddly enough, in the scripture, God rejects even fasting and even ritual only when they are outwardly turned in and signs of an inward lack of our relationship with God. The light of the world. You, my friends, are the light of this world. Light reflected from the very light of the world, Jesus Christ, who gets that light from God. You are salt. You are light. You are empowered by the person and teaching of Jesus Christ, who is declared from this pulpit and who is declared from pulpits all over the world and in the lives of people all over the world. You don't have to be an ordained minister. You must only be a believer. And you must only be one who will act and make a priority what you know is right for your life. Our task is to lead others to Christ, to lead others to Christ by reflecting his will in our lives. Let us then go forth, having heard the gospel and having made the gospel a priority in our lives, and in the sacramental assurance of his activity in us. Share then your lives, my friends. Share Christ. Share the light of the world. Amen.